Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination.
Welcome. I'm Solazar, and this is my Metaphysical Musings. Now, before we get into the show, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm a speaker, performer, reader, healer, radio host, and author. I've been a part of the metaphysical community all my life, and along the way, I completed a series of formal studies as well. This show will share a variety of metaphysical subjects. I want to thank Angel Thacker and the New Age Guild for letting me be a part of the Spirit Talk lineup. For those who listen to me here or on my Good Vibrations radio show, you know I like to start each show with a reading from Day by Day with James Allen. In 1903, James Allen published his essay, As a Man Thinketh. Allen chose the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It was described by Allen as a book that will help you help yourself. Allen wanted all of us to know that in your own thought world, you hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters into your life. Your present reality is a direct outcome of your past thoughts, intentions, beliefs, and actions. But your future is not predestined by your past. See, by working patiently and intelligently on your thoughts, intentions, beliefs, and actions, you can remake your life and transform your circumstances. In Day by Day with James Allen, his essay has been broken into a separate section for each day of the month. And for the 19th day of the month, James Allen shares, Good thoughts bear good fruit. Every thought seed sown or allowed to fall into the mind and to take root there, blossoming sooner or later into act and bearing its own fruitage of opportunity and circumstance. Good thoughts bear good fruit. Bad thoughts bear bad fruit. Now, in 1997, the Wall Street Journal reported that health maintenance organizations, HMOs, reported that as much as 70% of all visits to a primary care physician are for a psychosomatic illness. That means 70% of all visits are evidence of a physical illness that's created by an emotional or psychological nature. What are you thinking? Not only that, what thoughts are you reinforcing in your thought process? Good thoughts bear good fruit. Every thought seed sown or allowed to fall into the mind and to take root there produces its own, blossoming sooner or later into act and bearing its own fruitage of opportunity and circumstance. Good thoughts bear good fruit. Bad thoughts bear bad fruit. This lets you know that most people think themselves into illness. The more you think about your grievances or injustices, the more grievances and injustices you will encounter. The more you think of your good fortune, the more good fortune you'll experience. See, through your changed thoughts, you can move closer to your new future. James Allen wanted us to know that all of those attitudes, actions, intentions, beliefs that brought us to this present reality can be changed. And by shifting them, we can create a new future that we cannot see in this present moment. Good thoughts bear good fruit. Through your changed thoughts, you can move closer to your new future. Now, as part of a practice every day, not only do I use Day by Day with James Allen, I do several other things. I do a morning and evening series of forgiveness prayers. I do a gratitude affirmation. I do Ho'oponopono. I do unconditional love affirmations, and I collect a positive thought from the Unity School of Christianity, and they're put out by the Daily Word. Now, the Daily Word for Sunday, November 19th says, in grace, I release every sense of limitation. With a daily gratitude practice, you can develop a spirit of grace. Grace is a quiet state of consciousness that helps create an easy, peaceful life experience. In grace, I release every sense of limitation. So these messages become powerful additions to the transforming transits we're in the midst of experience. In grace, I release every sense of limitations. Good thoughts bear good fruit. And for your gratitude affirmation, try the one that I use. It's very simple. It was shared by the Reverend Charlotte Tinker, who's the channel for the divine goddess Kuan Yin. And Reverend Tinker shared this, which I do every day. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. I'm going to talk more about our transformational transits that we are in the midst of. Things are shifting radically and dramatically. It's one of those times in our lives when we either go with the flow to find where the current is leading, or we fight it and keep fighting it and find the struggle becomes almost unbearable. But before we get to those transits, this past week I spoke with Dr. Arnie Buss, who shared his guidance about interpersonal communication. Now, he's a regular guest host on my show, Good Vibrations Radio. And on the second Monday of each month, he does a segment called Speaking of Listening. Let's listen to Dr. Arnie Buss and Speaking of Listening. Dr. Arnie Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. Now, he's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years, and his passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues, and in the past 8 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations from San Francisco to King City. And he joins us on the second Monday of each month with his segment, Speaking of Listening. Let's have a little musical introduction to Dr. Arnie Buss and his segment, Speaking of Listening.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find relief.
And welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar, as he so generously said. I'm your host, Arnie Buss. Speaking of listening, it's about ways of improving your relationships by listening deep within your heart, as the song says, and both within your own heart and connecting with the other person's heart. That's what it's all about. And if you think about what relationships are really about, it is about that heart-to-heart connection. Now, I will be giving workshops on effective communication and relationship building, and I also have individual sessions, and I work with couples. So to find out more, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart, that's all one word, consciousawareheart.com, or look at my website, consciousawareheart.com, or www.consciousawareheart.com. And they're the reason that heart is in there, and the reason why I call it conscious and aware is that when you're connecting with with really what is inside, it is all about being conscious and being aware. In other words, being aware of what your thoughts and your feelings are, and becoming aware of what the other person's thoughts and their feelings are. And to be conscious means to be doing this in a mindful way, in a way which is emphasizing the being in the present with that person. Because listening is not just about hearing what the words that the other person is saying. It's about engaging in that heart-centered dialogue in which, even if there's some kind of disagreement, that the purpose, the objective, is to enhance that relationship. Now, I firmly believe that if the kinds of approaches that I talk about were embraced by people in the political arena, to name one, that there wouldn't be so much strife, there wouldn't be so much stridency and so much angst and anger and lashing out, that there would be more of a helpful dialogue in which everybody's point of view is taken into account, and nobody feels like they're a victim of things. Because as I'll get into today a little bit, a lot of those feelings of victimhood come from a place of what you're thinking and what you're believing about things. And those thoughts and those beliefs may or may not be true. This is particularly appropriate at this time of year, with Thanksgiving just 10 days away from when I'm speaking to you here. If your family is like many, it may be the case that your holidays are not a simple, blissful, joyous time like some of the more Pollyanna-ish movies and presentations will share. The holidays can often be a time where families get torn apart. Families are rife with conflict. And the thing about conflict is that it can be either something which tears you apart, or it can be something that actually draws you together. And I'm going to talk about some more of that. And it starts with, you know, that crazy uncle of yours who supports the politician who you hate, or the mother-in-law who has these sort of strange beliefs about maybe certain individuals or certain religions or certain races or nationalities. And it's not that these are positive attitudes, but the question is, what do you do with it? What do you do with that when you're in a relationship that you have no choice about? What I mean by that is that you don't get to choose your family, whether it's your immediate family, your extended family, whoever your family is, that's who they are. And I don't think anything positive can come out of situations where family members are estranged from each other, or just not speaking, or you know, just totally riven apart. So where it starts, and it starts with you. Remember the famous quote by Gandhi, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. Or, you know, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me is another one. So let this begin with you. Resolve to have a holiday where, even if you're hearing things that you disagree with, that you have a more effective way of dealing with that and responding instead of reacting. And by more effective, what I mean is one in which the relationship, again, this relationship that you have no choice over, is not harmed by the fact of a disagreement, whatever that disagreement may be. So I'm going to start by talking about how, you know, what to do when you disagree with what you're hearing. And then I'm going to recap a little bit some of what I've spoken to in previous segments about attitudes that block effective communication, because one or more of these is bound to come into play whenever there's a problem. And of course, I'll hopefully give you something in which you can overcome this. So if you turn on the TV, you will see situations where people are just completely talking past each other. Certainly on the cable news networks, you know, regardless of which one it is, time and time again, you have two or more people who are just trying to, you know, convince the other person. They're interrupting. They're not hearing what the other person is saying, and so they're not really responding to the other point. They have their talking points, their agenda, and they're going to push their agenda regardless of what the other person is saying. I mean, I saw one where there was somebody who had a significant amount of financial expertise, and he was explaining some basic financial facts to the host, and the host was having none of that. The host just kept interrupting him and disagreeing, saying, no, you're wrong about that. And, you know, now you could agree or disagree, but the point was is that if the host had listened to my show, then he would have taken a different tack. But it was clear that the host had his agenda, and maybe to a certain extent the guest had his. But in this particular case, the guest was actually just really explaining some facts, and it was the host who was interrupting and just trying to push his own point of view. But it's not just in politics. I mean, I've seen it in other venues, and you probably see it in situations, especially, again, if you think back to previous holidays, there's probably been at least one or more situations where people got into a verbal tiff, and everybody was talking past each other. Nobody was listening. The thing is that you can't count on the other person to make a change. You know, the famous quote, I think it's attributed to Albert Einstein. I don't know if it really is. I've never actually seen the original one, but if you keep doing the same, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Or in a more colloquial way, if you keep doing what you always done, you keep getting what you always got. So, and the thing is that who is it that is motivated to change? So if you're waiting for the other person to change, then you're probably going to have a long wait. So let it begin with you. Be the peace, be the change that you want to see. Now, what kind of change am I talking about? I'm talking about listening instead of disagreeing. When you hear something that you are disagreeing with, often what we do is, you know, we kind of mentally tap our foot. You know, okay, I heard something and I gotta respond to that. I can't let them get away with that. And so we'll either interrupt and say, no, you're wrong about that, the way this host did, or we'll kind of sit there, maybe silently, but we're not really hearing the other person's message. We're kind of mentally just tapping our foot, waiting for them to stop talking so we can say what we have to say. And that's not a dialogue. That's just two monologues. It's not the same thing. And, you know, if you're okay with that, then you can stop listening right now. But if for some reason you want to make things different, then I recommend that you maybe hear a little bit about what I'm going to talk about. So it comes down to attitude. So the most fundamental thing is the attitude. And the attitude, your attitude, is how immediately manifests in how you see the other person. So you see the other person as being, you know, wrong or terrible. I saw on my Facebook feed somebody had posted or shared a woman who went out on a date. You know, I guess they'd connected with Tinder or one of these online things, and as soon as she found out that her date was a Trump supporter, she ended it right there. Said, no way this can happen. And you know, and people were people who were not in favor of Trump were generally supportive of this. But you know, I think that she was missing a wonderful opportunity, because you know, without getting into the details of it, and you know, and I'm anything but a big fan of Donald Trump, but or I should say and the thing is that that's just one aspect. And I actually have, you know, good friends who cast their vote that way. And, you know, I disagree with it. But when it comes to the people that I know, they're not terrible people. They're not people who I want to cut out of my life just because they voted in one particular way. And, of course, it can work the other way, too. You know, somebody, I don't know. If she'd found out he was a Bernie Sanders supporter and she was a Trump supporter, then ended it right there. See, what's a big part of what's happening in our society is that these groups are becoming polarized and stovepiped, and they only talk to each other instead of talking with people who have different points of view. So the attitude that the other person is wrong just because they have a point of view that you disagree with, that's something which does not create good relationships. You know, and these attitudes, that's where the attitude starts. And the way that it manifests is often in terms of things like right or wrong, you know, moralizing or preaching or judging, criticizing. You know, you're wrong to vote that way. You're wrong to believe that. Disagreeing. Or fixing. You know, let me explain it to you. And once I explain it to you, you'll see things my way. You know, what I often call the pains in the ass, advice, suggestions, and solutions. And certainly things like name calling and ridiculing or shaming, using sarcasm, joking, being passive aggressive. These are all attitudes that block communication. And I encourage you to keep the objective in mind. So what is the objective? Again, let's come back to Thanksgiving and the holidays. Who are you with? You're with your family and hopefully your extended family. Again, these are relationships that you essentially don't choose. You don't get to choose. And, you know, I recognize that there are certain times, certain situations, particularly in the case where there's an abusive person in the family, that unfortunately the healthiest thing is to cut that person out. But that's an extreme. You know, and when, sometimes when I express this to someone who finds it difficult to accept, they'll bring up something like, "What about abuse?" And I have to agree. I mean, if somebody is abusive, that's a relationship, regardless of their familiar relationship. You know, it is not healthy to be in a relationship of any kind with an abuser. Period. But that's an extreme case. And again, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It happens all too often. Most, however, don't fall into that category. You know, your crazy uncle who, believes in aliens or whatever, voted for Trump, for crying out loud. That's not abusive. So what is the objective? Everyone I know, the breaking up of a familiar relationship is always a painful thing. Again, sometimes it's a painful necessity, but regardless, it's always painful, regardless of the circumstances. So what is your objective? So you're sitting there listening to somebody say stuff that you disagree with. And what is your objective? Is it to convince the other person? Or is it to hear and understand their point of view? And that's how I define validation, hearing and understanding somebody's point of view. And it's not the same as agreeing. I can validate your point of view, and I don't have to agree. So, I mean, is your objective to prove the other person wrong? Or is it to build up the relationship, to enhance the relationship, regardless of the disagreements? Hopefully it's the latter. And if it's not, if your main objective is to prove the other person wrong, then I got to ask, how's that working for you? For all the rhetoric on Facebook, and I sometimes participate and express my views, I have yet to see anybody's mind get significantly changed. I have yet to see somebody who's adamant in one point of view all of a sudden, when hearing what somebody on the opposite side says, say, oh, you're right. Boy, I've been dumb. Said no one ever. So let's come back to Thanksgiving dinner. It's all about you. I said, be the change. So if you're angry or impatient or frustrated with what the other person is saying, understand it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with you, specifically what you're thinking and what you're believing. Again, if you're angry, impatient, frustrated, upset, any one of the millions of negative feelings, it's not about them. It's about you. And more to the point, there's something that you're thinking and believing that is causing you to feel that way. Typically at the bottom is some kind of should or shouldn't. So, she should see that I'm right about this, or he shouldn't believe that, or they should do this, or they shouldn't do that. It's not that there's anything wrong with having a should. And we all have them. But it's a stumbling stone, and more to the point, it's often a stumbling stone to seeing reality as it really is. I love a quote by Byron Katie, and she says, when you argue with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time. A should is arguing with reality. If you think, he shouldn't do that, but he did do that, the reality is he did that. If you say he shouldn't do that, then you're arguing with reality. And as Byron Katie says, you're going to lose, but only all the time. So it's all about you. So, and that leads to how to overcome any difficulty that you're having in this. And I have to confess, if I were If I did this perfectly every single time, if I stayed in my aware heart and I was listening and validating and tracking the other person all the time, chances are I wouldn't be doing a segment like this or teaching as I am. I'd maybe be off in a monastery somewhere or something. I would be far more enlightened than I am. I don't get this all the time. However, when I don't, I'm mindful of the fact that I haven't. And so that leads to how you can overcome and move past any difficulty that you're having. And the first place is to start by noticing it. And you can notice it after the fact. It's really hard. Once things get triggered and emotions get very fired up, it's hard to stay conscious in that moment. But do what they call an after-action review in the military. In other words, you know, think back, you know, and maybe right now, think back to the last conversation you had that didn't go well. You know, replay what was said from an objective distance. You know, see, recognize what you were thinking and believing and feeling, and remember that wonderful tracking tool that I talk about, which is a way of validating the other person without agreeing with them. So maybe write down what the other person said that set you off, and then come up with ways that you could have tracked that. Better yet, if you know somebody who knows tracking, you know, role play with them. You know, get them to play. Well, you can do it depending on how well they know. If they know tracking, one way to do it is you play the person who set you off, and they can track. They can show ways of tracking, and then you can switch so that they be the person who said something that triggered you, and you get to try out different tracking responses. Inquire, and this is maybe even a little deeper, inquire into yourself as to why you were unable to hear the other person's message. See, every you know, argument as opposed to conflict is a result of not really being able to hear the other person. Usually, it's both parties who are not hearing the other person. And you can't hear the other person when you're trying to convince them that they're wrong and you're right. So what was there about that? You see, if you really delve into that, again, like this is all about you. What was it about you that made it hard to hear? And what was it about you that caused the trigger? See, because if you're reacting, you know, which is, you know, the strong emotional response that kind of starts to raise the temperature and just fuel the fire, that has to do with something going on inside of you. Again, it could be a belief that you have. I mean, that's certainly always an element. But way down at the core of that is some kind of pain or fear or anxiety that is in you. And if that is what is driving the way that you communicate with the other person, then things are pretty much guaranteed to go off the rail. That's the opposite of being conscious, being driven by these old wounds, being driven by your emotions. And there's nothing wrong with emotions, but who's in charge? Is it your mindful consciousness, or is it your reactive feelings? So what was that? What was that going on? What was your fear? If somehow the other person, what the other person was expressing, just wasn't immediately confronted and contradicted. And consider making amends. Now, a lot of people, I encounter a lot of resistance to this concept. To say, why should I make amends to them? They're the ones who were wrong. Again, what is your objective? Is your objective to prove them wrong, to make them wrong, to keep them wrong? Or is it to have a good relationship? And the idea of amends is to acknowledge your part in things, because it does take two to tango, which is a cliche, but you don't have to show up at every fight you're invited to. You don't have to show up at every argument you're invited to. And I guarantee that if you choose to track instead of argue, that the temperature will lower. And at some point, the other person will basically let out this sigh, a release of energy, because they felt heard and understood. And in that moment is when you can start to express your point of view. Again, without making the other person wrong. Just because you have a different point of view doesn't mean that they're wrong. And even if they think you're wrong, that doesn't make you wrong either. Now, one way to make amends is in the form of an impact statement, which I've spoken about in some previous segments. And remember, in an impact statement, you use only the pronoun I. And you acknowledge, in this case, like for making amends, you acknowledge what you did. Again, you don't take the blame for something that you didn't do. And it may have only just been a little bit, but whatever, how, you know, you may think, well, it was 20% me and 80% them. Well, the 80% that's them, that's on them. But if there's 20% of you, acknowledge that, make amends, express regret, and express that the relationship is important. And that in the future, you're going to make every attempt possible to not do that again. I mean, you may say something like, you know, I realized that in the recent conversation together that I was being reactive and not, I found myself disagreeing with what was being expressed. And that interfered with my being able to hear what was being expressed completely. I very much regret having done that and will make more of an effort in the future to be non-judgmental in conversations. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? Notice that I did not use the pronoun you. I used only the pronoun I, because I'm taking responsibility for my part in it. So today I've talked about, in preparation for the holidays, how some ways of dealing with a situation where you disagree with what somebody's saying, recapping a little bit some of the attitudes that block communication, and some ways that you can overcome them and move past conversations that have gone off the rails. And until then, you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I so appreciate joining me today. You can hear Speaking of Listening every second Monday at 5 o'clock right here on Good Vibrations Radio, usually about 10 after 5 is, but or so. To learn more about effective listening and more in my workshops, you can email me at ahbus@consciousawareheart.com. You can like me on Facebook at AwareHeart. Follow me on Twitter at Effect5Com. That's Effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. You can visit my website at www.consciousawareheart.com, where, among other things, I post the audio files of many of the past segments. And until then, remember, listen from your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside, someone I thought had died so long ago.
I always appreciate when Dr. Buss shares his learning and wisdom concerning interpersonal communications. The podcasts are posted on goodvibrationsradio.com. Well, there is so much going on energetically right now in the cosmos. You know, from the 9th of November to the 7th of December, Mercury will be out of bounds in the sign of Sagittarius. Now, this will force your confrontation of the white and black in your world. See, we need both. We need the white. We need the black for our personal balance. But this is a time between the 9th of November and the 7th of December. This is a time when we get to explore our spiritual growth, because there are always two sides on every astrological event. One is it's forcing this feeling of being out of balance, and two, it's allowing us to create the balance in our life. So what is out of bounds? See, a planet's considered out of bounds when its angle is beyond the outer limits of the sun, generally greater than 23 degrees and 27 minutes of declination, which is the angle of the planet as it faces the sun. And that angle could be either north or south when it's considered out of bounds. Now, an out-of-bound planets tend to be a little out of control. That means its energy is being stretched or over the top during these periods. So anything that we see as the impact of a particular planet is bigger when it's out of bounds. Some astrologers used to call persons with planets out of bounds in their charts geniuses, because in truth, they tended to be people who thought out of the box. They have a tendency to walk away from situations with which more conventional individuals might consider prestigious or desirable. They might decide to escape from the rules and norms of society that they were born into. It's the type of thing where, withdraw, run off to the woods, move to a different state. Leave the comfort of your familiar environment and go to something new and unknown. And people with out-of-bounds planets also tend to ignore society's expectations in relation to their gender or age or something else. So often, these are people that the more normal in society, and that could be any of us, tend to look at a little askance. And we might even wonder, what's going on with them? During this period, when Mercury is out of bounds, it's also going to enter its shadow, leading to its December 3rd retrograde. So it's going to be at a 13 degrees Sagittarius when it begins its shadow period. So it's a little over halfway, not quite halfway, through its transit in Sagittarius. And the Mercury retrograde starts 3 December, and it's going to go until 22 December. And that emphasizes your spiritual mind, your spiritual growth, and your need for a spiritual retreat or opportunity to center or balance yourself. When Mercury starts its retrograde, it will be at 29 degrees Sagittarius, almost at the end, and it will remain in Sagittarius through the retrograde. Watch yourself during this period while Mercury is out of bounds. Once again, let me remind you that that's this 9th of November until the 7th of December. On November 14th, at 11 degrees Sagittarius, Mercury squared with Neptune, which was at 11 degrees Pisces. This has created confusion this past week in communications. It's also generated difficulties for those who are traveling. It began its shadow period on the 15th of November. Now, not every astrologer believes in the shadow period. However, the shadow period is approximately 2 weeks prior to the start of a retrograde, and we begin to experience the slow slide into the impact of the retrograde during that shadow period. Now, as already mentioned, during the shadow period and during the beginning of the retrograde, Mercury is also out of bounds. So that means it's going to be hard to see things clearly because it's out of bounds. Remember, it's out of bounds of some things are just larger than they normally would be. So the confusion we normally have with a Mercury retrograde will be larger during the period of the out of bounds, and it starts during the shadow period, which began on Wednesday of this past week. Now, while all that's going on November 22nd, the day before Thanksgiving, Neptune will turn direct in Pisces, and that's going to have a big impact. We'll get to a little bit more on that in just a bit. And on the 24th of November, the day after Thanksgiving, Mercury in Sagittarius will square with Chiron in Pisces. Now, Chiron is known as the wounded healer. It is retrograde and will remain retrograde until December 5th. During this period, starting on Friday, especially the day after Thanksgiving, words may be very, very hurtful while Mercury is in this square with Chiron. Words may also be used to heal during this time. So during a Chiron retrograde, you're confronted with situations that may trigger you. Triggers allow you to outwardly manifest the inner child wounds that you carry. And while Chiron is retrograde, this is the time to identify your wounds as the first step to healing. What you have to avoid is focusing on the triggers. Someone says something which you see as the cause for your reaction. It's not what they said. It's your reaction that's important. During this retrograde, it is critically important you pay attention to why you're reacting. Now, Mercury in Sagittarius will also conjunct Saturn at 28 degrees Sagittarius on November 27th. So that's the week after Thanksgiving. It's as we go into that final countdown toward the close of the month, the next Monday after Thanksgiving. When it does that conjunction starting that Monday after Thanksgiving, you're going to feel boxed in with obligations and responsibilities. And as mentioned in this Day by Day with James Allen, the emotional and psychological outcome of the mental stress from feeling boxed in can manifest as a physical illness. So Monday, the 27th, after Thanksgiving, it's a good day to find some quiet time, practice peace of mind and mindfulness. Now, while Mercury begins its retrograde on December 3rd, it's also a good day to delay any trips, avoid signing contracts, be cautious about what you say and who you say it to. And that same day, on the 3rd of December, there will be a full moon in Gemini. Neptune at 11 degrees Pisces will form a T-square with the sun at 11 degrees Sagittarius and the moon at 11 degrees Gemini. That's December 3rd. That's going to be a big day for identifying your spiritual issues as well as expanding your personal spiritual practice. But what's been going on this week leading up to it? Well, so many things have happened. On last Monday, Venus in Scorpio conjuncted Jupiter also in Scorpio. That was a nice day. It was a good time for expanding current relationships and a good time for new relationships. And then on the 16th, which was this past Thursday, Venus in Scorpio trined Neptune in Pisces. So that's the planet of love, harmony, and beauty, dancing nicely with the planet of dreams and fantasies. So this is a day for being creative. You can be very creative and much more forgiving in your relationships since Neptune makes you more empathetic. So hopefully you had an opportunity to relax, to enjoy it, to not stress, to not take it hard. Reality will present itself soon enough. And then, of course, the 18th, we had our new moon in Scorpio. And that was at 3:42 a.m. Pacific time, early morning of Saturday the 18th. And when Scorpio is part of the new moon, the intention, of course, will be internal. It's always internal. It's also a time to dive in deep into the waters of Scorpio. See, Scorpio moon forces everyone to take action, whether you want to or not. It's both compelling and frightening at the same time. It draws us in, and yet we're afraid of what we might encounter or see. The depth of intensity of that Scorpio new moon water energy actually helps us draw out so many items and areas that require our attention for our self-examination and our self-awareness. And because it's going to pull on that Chiron retrograde, once again, this is the time to not focus on what triggered you, but why you were triggered. What's the real reason you were triggered? Not what somebody said or somebody did. There's some other reason. If you haven't taken the time through listening to some of these shows to explore Homecoming by John Bradshaw, you can get it as a Kindle book, as a paperback, as a hardback. But the late John Bradshaw was a pioneer in taking a lot of the psychological studies concerning our inner woundings and defining this inner child wounding in a way that says, here we can create identification. And once we've created identification, we can actually work on healing. We know why. We know the reasons. And Homecoming is a wonderful, easily approachable book for those who want to do more of that work. I encourage you, with this Chiron retrograde, these last few days of the Sun in Scorpio, as well as this past the new moon in Scorpio, this is the time to do your examination. Get the identification, because we're going to have the opportunity with our full moon on December 3rd to really clarify and clear a lot of our spiritual issues. And as we said, identification is key. Be careful what you say to people. Even now, even though this is the day after the new moon, we're still in that period of that energy. Remember, on your trigger, your inner wounds, your inner child issues, the deeper you dig, the more benefits you'll receive going forward. Now today, at 4:15 a.m., Mars in Libra squared Pluto in Capricorn, so we've got a fight. So we've got the aggressive, testosterone-driven planet fighting with the planet of death, rebirth, and transformation. Expect challenges. This is a perfect day for a power struggle. Whatever you began on your new moon yesterday, or whatever you've begun today, and actually even things you started in this past week, today is the day you'll be challenged by them. It could even be something that shows up on Monday when you get back to work and somebody says, yesterday I was thinking over, and boom, there it is. As long as you've paid attention to the details of what you proposed, what you've put together, what you've planned, you'll be okay. If you've left any details out, expect to be challenged. Expect to have people questioning how you're going about it. Allow that to happen. Don't become part of the problem of this energy. If you've done your homework, the challenges will be small. Walk softly, be cautious in your approach or response until next week. So, reminder, Neptune has been retrograde in Pisces since June 16th. Neptune rules the psychic senses, dreams, fantasies, intuition, and artistic expression. And Neptune is going direct on the 22nd. This is a big damn deal. We can't minimize this at all. This is an important thing, because as Neptune comes out, those things you've been dreaming, those things you've been interested in, those things you've tried to put energy into, Neptune is going to be pushing those fantasies and dreams to the forefront. Now, Neptune's not going to make them come real, because Neptune likes the dream more than actually creating the dream in reality. So Neptune's going to be actually kind of playing its little deceiver role. But once it goes direct, if there are areas that you have been focusing and doing the work and trying to put forward and trying to get a foothold, Neptune's going to be right there pushing those things out to the forefront. So on the 22nd, know that things are coming to the forefront where you're going to have opportunities to move your dreams forward. And that's big. And I don't believe there's any other opportunity you're going to have for the rest of this year that can actually square as strongly with that. Fog will lift. You're going to see the best of every situation. It's going to make for a nice Thanksgiving in that regard. But stay out of the daydreams. Don't live in the daydreams. Do everything you can to make your daydream step into reality. A lot of clarity will come out of that. Chiron, which we've been talking about in the retrograde, it will stay retrograde until December 5th. The old wounds surface for healing. Be aware that often the areas you believe mentally that you've cleared are the ones that surface demanding attention. So if you've been doing work on certain areas during this Chiron retrograde, you can expect in the next 2 weeks, you're going to be tested to see whether or not you've cleared them, healed them, or if you made any progress at all. You don't have to fully heal something to make progress. Any progress you make in not having the same level of reaction is still an improvement over what was there. And then Uranus, which began a retrograde in Aries on August 2nd, will stay retrograde through the end of this year until January 2nd. When Uranus is retrograde, it's the time to turn inward, catch your breath, and give yourself time for the serious thought about what's needed in your life. So don't see this year as coming to an end. See this next month and a half as a time for you to really reassess, reevaluate the directions you want to take in 2018. Stop pretending that life is all sunshines and rainbows. This is the time for digging into your shadow self and bringing those wounds and those grievances into the light and releasing them so they no longer hold you back. This is your time. Healing is not linear. Healing is a spiral. What happens is it comes back around so that we can heal them deeper and better and more effectively than the healing we've already applied. Einstein told us no problem can be solved by the same consciousness that created it. We want to close this show once again by quoting from the anonymous poem that was published on Empower Astrology. In the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. Remember, no matter how hard the world pushes against you, within you, there's something stronger, something better pushing right back. Whatever you give, do so from your heart. Thank you for listening to Metaphysical Musings on Spirit Talk. Additional shows sharing metaphysical topics can be found at goodvibrationsradio.com. If you have any questions or missed any elements, send me an email at solazar@gmail.com. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Many blessings. We'll talk again next week. Namaste.
There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free. If you truly wish to be.